I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In the book of Genesis, before the end of the first chapter, God creates humankind. If we are to understand our lives from birth to our ultimate end, we should not neglect to consider our ultimate origin, our Genesis. Beginning at verse 26 of that first chapter, and God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree, the which is the fruit of a yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat." And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. In the very morning of our own existence, at the dawn of the day of humankind, God made us different than the rest of his creation, saying of us that we will bear his image and his likeness. And he gave us mastery in likeness of his own mastery over the rest of his creation. And he said, looking over all things and seeing us as the godly gardeners, the godly husbandmen, the godly craftsmen, "This arrangement is good. They are very, very good." Of course, by the third chapter of Genesis, sin had entered into creation and changed the story. That which was good and pure had become sullied, and that which was simple and clear had become confused. But with the seed of sin, also now planted, was a seed of the Master's return, watered and receiving light. And in time, the Creator would return to recreate his people. The image and likeness that they bore would be renewed by his incarnation. The Creator would heal the creation in himself. And when Jesus Christ was announced in Nazareth and born in Bethlehem, the heaven of Eden was resown. And soon enough, all would be personally invited by the Lord of Lords to return to that Eden by way made possible only through that master gardener, that master craftsman, the master husbandman, Jesus Christ, the Son of God himself. All sin, jealousy, violence, strife, pride, even murder, he took into himself, and with the nails which he was crucified by, and the spear thrust that he bore in his side, the power of sin and death died. As the image of God, perfectly renewed in Christ, was crucified, so the perfect likeness of God was made manifest in a self-sacrificing love. The sacrifice of one, the perfect love of one, offered up on behalf of everyone else. And on that day, the words were truly uttered, "In heaven and on earth, it is finished." And since that day, those who are in Christ may look upon the redemption of their lives and say, once again, "It is very good." A few weeks ago, Carl Countryman died at the age of 91. Carl had a long and full life, having spent about 30 years in retirement, more time in retirement than a lot of people ever spend in a career. His life began with a childhood in which very early he learned the value of hard work, scooping ice cream at his aunt's shop at an age probably illegal under labor laws of this day. That work ethic came with him to his service in the Navy as it took him places in the world he would never forget. His diligence as a draftsman brought him in on important projects, key companies, working to develop and master technology and infrastructure. And by his later years, he truly knew what it was to be a gardener, a craftsman, a husband. And he learned what it was to be a father, and then a grandfather, and then a great-grandfather. By the time his body failed, he had endured numerous heart attacks and other ailments, doctors being consistently surprised at his resilience. Indeed, Carl relayed to me several times in the last decade about the seriousness of the heart attacks that he had survived, and that the surprise with which the doctors greeted him after having revived him from one particular heart attack caused the question continually and repeatedly to arise in his mind, why has God kept me around? God must have something left for me to do. And so when Carl came here, he joined with so many people at St. George's and got to work, figuring again and again that perhaps this is what God wanted him to do, to build this altar, to build these hymnal racks, to fix these pews, to build this baptismal font, to build frames around the artworks, to refurbish these kneelers, to put a fence in around the back of the property, and on, joyfully serving with so many others, giving of his time and of his talent with thanksgiving. And as time went on, as it does with us all, the physical body allowed Carl to do less and less. And the question, what does God still have me here to do, began to make less and less sense. And the questions of life and death, of purpose and being, returned. If we are blessed with enough time as Carl was, circumstances will force us to ask, instead of what does God have me here to do, rather, what does God have me here to be? Instead of why am I, a more essential question is asked, what am I? What am I? Is a question not answered with a life goal. What am I is not a question answered with a list of accomplishments or a bucket list. The question, what am I, is a question asked better sooner than later. Thankfully, the answer for Carl and for you is a very simple one when you're ready to hear it. And this was the nature of the last conversation I was blessed to have with Carl. The answer sounds like this. And God saw everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. That's it. It's good for you to be here. It's just good. In fact, it's very good. And before you do anything, and after you've done everything, you are good. God looks at you just as God looked at Carl, and he looks at Carl in his very presence today, and he says, very good. And so much as our lives have been filled with purpose, that's fruitfulness. What a blessing. And so much as we have accomplished things, that's excellent, joyful. And so much as we have been husbandmen, gardeners, craftsmen in this garden that he's put us in, he means for us to be in this world that he's placed us here, and that's all good. Very well, but you and I, made in his very image and likeness, renewed in the baptismal waters of Christ, with his divine life dwelling in us, we go to dwell in him both now and forevermore. And what words can be used to describe a blessed arrangement like that? What can be said of the Christian who dies in Christ? But it is good. St. Paul writes to the Thessalonians, words that we hear today, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And that is good. To be is good. To be known by God, to be redeemed in Christ is very, very good. And when this body can no longer work in this garden, no longer craft things to the glory of God, we depart from our bodies for a time to be with the Lord in sure and certain hope of the resurrection of everlasting life. It is very, very, very good. Let us sorrow this day for the loss of Carl, but let us never sorrow as those without hope. For we may be sure that while the morning of life is bright and full of hope and wonder, that the evening of a Christian life is only a homecoming. It is the soul's return to God before the great and final day of our grand reunion, our eternal resurrection. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.